Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Not a Widow, But a Goddess. I hope you're all doing amazingly well, and wherever you are, that you're able to hold space for yourself and to allow whatever is showing up to flow through you. I know this past few weeks have been, the energy has been pretty intense, and I know I've been feeling a little bit tired, a little bit more tired lately. But just giving myself to the energy, it feels very expansive for me. Feel like I'm releasing some things that I no longer need to carry around with me, which always feels wonderful, a lightening in the body. So wherever you happen to be, I hope you are treating yourself with kindness and compassion. And so this week, where are we going this week? I want to introduce you to Tao Te Ching. It's a Chinese philosophy that is really so powerful, seems so simple, but is harder to practice. So I wanted to share a couple of pieces today in the podcast to sort of help us meander this journey of grief that we go through as women. I'd also like to share with you a little bit of one of my favorite yoga teachers, Judith Lasseter, in her book, Living Your Yoga. And of course, I will share just a little bit of another favorite book. I have so many favorite books, Circle of Stones, A Woman's Journey to Herself. And so before we begin, I'd simply like to invite you to take a couple moments to gather yourself, to gather all aspects of yourself exactly as you are right now. Don't change a thing about where you are right now. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to make anything perfect. Don't try to fix anything. And so I want you to gather all of you up exactly as you are right now. And just settle with that. Wherever you're listening to this, just settle with you, all of you in this moment, and hold space for that. That is the offering. And as you gather all of you, take a deep breath in, breathe in, feel life flowing through your nostrils into your body. And then exhale with a cleansing breath through the mouth. And do that a couple more times, taking deep breaths and nourishing yourself, nourishing where you are, nourishing what you're feeling, exhaling, releasing out. And just do that a few more times until you begin to feel your body settling. It's like the sand settling at the bottom of the water. When the body can settle, the mind can begin its job of clearing. And just notice how that begins to feel, how you begin to feel when you can create the space to simply be, not to change a thing, but to simply gather all of you. Like you're picking flowers from the meadow and you're just gathering all these beautiful pieces together to create a magnificent bouquet. And I just want to remind you that you are that beautiful bouquet. Wild, colorful. I have so much to say, so much to share. So take one last deep in breath for me. And as you exhale, let go. Simply let go. So in today's podcast, as I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you today, what came up, the word honesty kept coming up for me. And I've been on my own journey where, particularly these last 2 weeks, I've really been peeling back some layers to see, areas that I might still be hiding things. Any particular lies I've been telling myself about myself? because we do that. We do a good job of this pretending to be okay, and sometimes we're not okay. And so I do this work fairly when we're entering into new moon cycles with myself, and just allowing what wants to rise up to rise up, and to have this intimate practice with myself of radical honesty. And what's so interesting is the last few clients that I've had, what has come up has been this hidden anger that is being held back from being expressed. And so this sense that, yeah, I'm okay, but I'm really not okay, because we've also been taught we're on automatic when someone asks us a question, how are you doing? I'm okay. It's the first thing that comes out of our mouth. We don't even pause to check in with our bodies and to check in with our hearts before responding. We just automatically say, I'm okay. And so I've watched myself do this for many, many years. I don't do it anymore. And sometimes my answers, my reply rather, will catch someone off guard. And I'll respond, I was like, well, you did ask how I was, right? So how can we practice a sense of radical honesty when we are grieving? Right, to acknowledge that there is anger, to acknowledge that there is guilt, to acknowledge that we feel lonely, alone, all of what comes with the territory when we lose a significant other. Now, I have to be honest and transparent here, about anger. And so it was very interesting that my last few clients, their hidden emotion was anger. And it brought me back to my own experience after my husband transitioned. I am not one, I've never been one to befriend anger. And this goes way back to childhood, of my voice being stunted. And it dawned on me that here's an opportunity as I'm helping my clients heal. This is a deepening opportunity also for some healing for me. And I've done a good amount of work since many years ago on my anger, but it was like an opportunity to dive in again to see what's present there. Is there anything else that I'm angry about that I've sort of hidden or haven't allowed to come to the surface? And so I remember the first probably a couple of months after Hassel died, and I hadn't expressed any anger over his death. I was feeling it. But there was always this thing in me that said, angry people are just angry people, right? Anger never sat well with me because I thought there was something bad about being angry, and which quite is quite the opposite. Anger is actually a catalyst for change. But I remember walking into our closet, the closet that we shared, and I just stood in the closet and I looked around and I saw my things and I saw his things. And there was this rage that came over me, this anger. Angry at him for dying, angry at the situation I found myself. I was just angry. And I went into that closet like a tornado and I tore all the clothes off the hanger. And I just did it. I didn't stop. I just did it until I was completely spent and crying on the floor. And as I laid there just crying, curled up in a fetal position, I felt such a massive release of energy leave my body. I felt lighter, and I felt like I had let go of something that was really binding me tightly, and it was the anger. I hadn't given myself permission to express that anger. And so that experience was really one of the first experiences where I started to befriend anger and to know that it was okay to express my anger in healthy ways. And from where I am now, I can see that it was allowing myself to flow, to be in the flow with what is, what was at that time, which was, I'm feeling angry, right? And rather than try to control or suppress what I was feeling, knowing that it was okay to allow myself to express it. And so, in that moment of holding myself back from feeling the anger, what I was truly doing was being in conflict with myself. And anytime we're in conflict with ourselves, whether that, we're feeling that conflict because of guilt or anything else, it becomes an unnatural way of us to be with ourselves because we are nature. And nature allows things to be, allows things to flow, right? And to allow things to flow, to allow what rises within us to be acknowledged, is really part of the healing process as well. And so this idea of holding on so tightly, right, also does a thing to our nervous system. It puts us in that sympathetic nervous system, which can shoot our blood pressure up and cause all sorts of unhealthy reactions within our body. And so the lesson of learning how to express myself, which I have to tell you again, I'm being just so super transparent because at this stage of my life, I need to be honest with me and I want to be honest with you. But I have to say, for a good part of my life, I've always held myself from really expressing my truth. And this perhaps came from, well, I know where it came from, right? My childhood. And everything, the traumas that I experienced in my childhood. So it turned me into a people pleaser, a yes person. And so there was an imbalance between receiving, which is a very yin energy, and expressing, which is a very yang energy. And so I had some imbalance with this side of me that truly wanted to express how it felt to be in its truth. And it's taken me many, many years to find that space and that voice within myself. And I have to say that I have found it, right? And it's really taken me being in grief to open me up to all of this that was inside of me percolating. And so I am eternally grateful for sinking into my own grieving process and really finding me in the process as well. So I'm constantly, when I talk to Hassel, we have our little days and times when we talk, I'm always saying thank you. Thank you. So I'd like to start with a reading from the Tao Te Ching. And I'm going to start with number 23. So let me find that here in the book. And the version of this Tao that I have, Tao Te Ching book, is written by Stephen Mitchell. It's an English version, a New English version. And this particular passage says, "Express yourself completely, Then keep quiet. Be like the forces of nature. When it blows, there is only wind. When it rains, there is only rain. When the clouds pass, the sun shines through. If you open yourself to the Tao, you are one with the Tao, and you can embody it completely. If you open yourself to insight, you are one with insight, and you can use it completely. If you open yourself to loss, you are one with loss, and you can accept it completely. Open yourself to the Tao, then trust your natural responses, and everything will fall into place. Wow. We can just take a moment to absorb that. Notice what really resonated with you. And so for me, when I read this, it was all about how can I open myself up to what is. And so this line, if you open yourself to loss, you are one with loss and you can accept it completely. Yes, yes, and yes. And so part of our suffering, our deep suffering when we go through the grieving process is that we cannot open ourselves that a loss has happened. And we cannot accept it completely. And as a result of that, there's immense suffering. And so part of the shift in our how we approach grief is to look at what aspect of me is unable to accept that a loss has happened. And so self-inquiry becomes important in our healing process. And we can ask ourselves another question. Who is the one that is suffering, right? Like you're posing that question to yourself. Who is suffering? Which part of me is the one suffering? Because if we truly believe that we are an expression of God, and that God is manifested into this incarnation of who we are, this manifested form, then we know God is all being, right? God doesn't suffer. Humans suffer. There's two very different things. And so asking ourselves the question, which part of me, who is suffering? And so we can begin to really and truly peel back some of these layers so we can begin to have sight, insight, so we can allow the wisdom to come through. Judith Lassiter says in her book, Living Your Yoga, she said, suffering is the personalization we bring to our difficulties. I'm going to read that again. Suffering is the personalization we bring to our difficulties. So, example, blaming others for our pain, feeling sorry for ourselves because of our pain or because of our loss, whatever it may be, when we begin to personalize our suffering, we've taken our experience to another level. And so by our inability to accept what has happened completely, we begin to create stories. But those stories only create a deepening aspect of the suffering process. And we try to control the experience, and control always means that we're not in trust with nature, we're not in trust with life. Another Tao that I'd like to share with you, another passage. Lao Tzu, who wrote Tao Te Ching, says, if you want to shrink something, you must first allow it to expand. If you want to get rid of something, you must first allow it to flourish. If you want to take something, you must first allow it to be given. This is called the subtle perception of the way things are. The soft overcomes the hard. The slow overcomes the fast. Let your workings remain a mystery. Just show people the results. So early on in my grieving process, I had someone who gave me the wisest advice. And it's advice that I will never, ever forget. And so I was in the throes of very deep PTSD, panic attacks, anxiety attacks at night. I was all over the place. And I had never been one for medication. I always try to handle things naturally. And I didn't know how I could go through this particular experience naturally. It scared me. The feelings that I was having scared me. These very vicious thoughts that I was having scared me. And I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to know myself as someone capable of feeling that way. Because I'd always known myself as a really nice person, a really good person. How could I be so capable of thinking such horrible thoughts that were a product of the PTSD? But the advice that was given to me was this. She said, whatever you do, don't take any shortcuts. Whatever you do, don't take any shortcuts. She said, if you can give yourself completely to this grief, if you can show up to it, if you can say yes to it, she will reveal a new way for you. And in that moment, it was as if I instantly knew what my journey was going to look like. It may not be anyone else's journey. And I don't say to have anyone follow the way I did it. Everyone has to find their own way that's right for them. But as soon as she said it, I knew instantly that I had to show up to feel every ounce of this journey. All of the parts that I was afraid of, all of the guilt that was coming up, everything, the anger, everything, the pain in my body, I had to show up for it. And reading this particular passage by Lao Tzu, if you want to shrink something, you must first allow it to expand. I didn't know it at the time that that's what I was doing by allowing myself to feel fully, but that's exactly what I was doing. I was allowing grief to expand, to be felt so richly. And yet it was also so difficult and challenging. But where I am today, five and a half years later, I am so grateful that I received that advice, because for me, that was the best advice anyone could give me. Not get over your grief or more platitudes, right? We have this thing where we give people who have just lost someone platitudes. Well, God knows best. I think that's one of the most insensitive things to say to someone who's just lost a loved one. So please, no platitudes. Yeah. The soft overcomes the hard. The slow overcomes the fast. We want to get out of grief so fast because it doesn't feel good. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes us want to wither and curl up into a ball. Grief doesn't feel like joy and happiness, and so we want to run in the other direction. We don't want to befriend something that doesn't taste good. And yet it's the bitter medicine that we swallow that brings the healing in our lives. The last of the passage from Lao Tzu, Tao Te Ching. In the book, it's number 39. The previous one was number 36. Lao Tzu says, "In harmony with the Tao, the sky is clear and spacious. The earth is solid and full. All creatures flourish together, content with the way they are, endlessly repeating themselves, endlessly renewed. When man interferes with the Tao, the sky becomes filthy. The earth becomes depleted. The equilibrium crumbles. Creatures become extinct. The master views the parts with compassion because he understands the whole. His constant practice is humility. He doesn't glitter like a jewel, but lets himself be shaped by the Tao, as rugged and common as a stone." Wow. Again, powerful. And the power here in these teachings by Lao Tzu is so simple, yet we are at odds with allowing ourselves to be in the flow with things as they arrive into our lives. We want to control. And because we seek to control the outcome of things, we end up suffering even more. And I wonder, as we talk about this, how can we view grief as part of the whole story rather than just a part unto itself? Loss is a part of the whole story of our humanity. There's no other way around it. Death is part of it. And because death is part of it, we are assured that also grief will be part of it. But because we're not having these conversations with each other, we're not having these conversations at home. When death comes, when grief arises, we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to be. We're at odds. We're in conflict. And so we suppress. We practice more doing than being. And whenever we stuff something down, whenever we suppress something, that thing will rise up tenfold at some point and be very destructive. And so, how can we be in harmony with ourselves during these natural occurrences of life? And in harmony means that we're not trying to control, we're not trying to push away. And so even in our grief, we can remain spacious. Even in our grief, we can experience a sense of solidity. And so we're being shown that there's a different way in which we can approach the process of grief. To be shaped by the experiences that we are going through. to be shaped by grief. And again, I think about my own journey and how grief shaped me into, as Lao Tzu says here, but let himself be shaped by the Tao as rugged and common as a stone. And I feel that. It was a rugged experience. And yet, as I sit here speaking with you, it's just a sense of gratitude that I have for that journey. And as women naturally possessing the yin energy, it's not until we dive deep into the very depths of our experiences, the very depths of our pain, that we can truly understand our own power. And in her book, Judith Durick, in Circle of Stones, she says, the issue is not whether woman can achieve, but that preoccupation with achievement may deny a descent into her deeper nature, which a woman must make to touch her true strength. The masculine must perhaps fly to fulfill a part of its heroic nature, but woman, pressed to fly, may lose herself and be prevented from descending into her depths, prevented from feeling her own feminine nature. For through her descent, she touches the power of the feminine, a power that comes of being, not doing, the power of wisdom in the face of a very old woman, a face in which one reads, I know what I know. A woman through her descent touches a deeply feminine authority, as different from the authority of the masculine as is the moon from the sun. It is an authority not of abstracted, rational, objective knowledge, but an authority which allows her to speak from her own unique experiencing of life, from her own deepest personal convictions. And so, how are we in this grieving process able to sink down into the depths of our own experiencing of life? How has our culture showed us how to grieve as women, to get back to work quickly, to get over your loss, to stop crying, to shake it off, to straighten your spine, when all you want to actually do is to descend into the pit of that experience and that pain and wail and scream and roar? And that is what we must do and experience in order to touch and taste the power that resides within us, which will allow us to heal. It's not by more doing, it's not by being more yang that we heal through our griefs. It's by allowing that yin, that feminine, to guide us through. It is by feeling. By feeling, acknowledging, and honoring what is. By allowing that wild aspect of ourselves to fully be expressed in the grieving process. And so I'd like to leave you as I wrap up here with a practice from Judith Lasseter in her book, Living Your Yoga, Finding the Spiritual in Every Day of Life. This is the book, and grief is a spiritual experience. Everything that we live as human beings is a spiritual experience. So she says, this practice is, the next time that you are upset, notice your physiological responses, such as increased tension in your muscles, changes in your breath, and tightness in your belly. How much time during the day do you spend in this state? Is this the way you want to spend your life? Choose to let go of suffering in this very moment. So whenever you find yourself rooted in the anger and you feel and sense things coming up, whatever those things may be, take a moment to pause. Pause, observe, notice yourself. Notice your body. Notice the changes that are happening in your body. Muscle tension, a shift in your breath, tightness. And just notice, like she says, how much time during the day are you actually in this state of heavy, heavy contraction? So I love you, and I am grateful for these conversations, these very honest conversations that we can have with each other, because it's only when we can really begin to be honest with each other and honest with ourselves that we can allow healing to come to the surface. And part of the process is releasing any conflict that we may have within ourselves, whatever that conflict may be. And I do want you to take a moment to reflect on how is my culture standing in the way of me grieving in a healthy way? Sometimes our culture actually is the problem, right? So, really being mindful of what you take in from your environment when you're in the grieving process. Everything is not your friend. Right? Be mindful of your energy and what the outside world might be presenting to you, what you take in through your eyes, your ears, right? So in yoga, we have this, it's prana. We talk about prana, right? And sometimes prana is just energy. We take in breath through the nostrils, that's prana. We take in food and liquids through the mouth, that's prana. Those things are nourishing the body to sustain it. But the other pranas that are often not talked about, things that we take in, are the things that we're taking in through our eyes. What are we watching that's affecting our healing process? What are we listening to? Things that we take in through our ears that's also affecting our healing process. So really become more aware of what's taking place in the environment around you that's having an effect on your grieving and have an effect on your healing. So I love you so much, and I'm wishing you an amazing rest of your week. Wishing you peace. Wishing you an opportunity to experience joy even in the midst of the grief. Both are possible. It's this and. Not this or, but this and. And be well until next week. Namaste.